This is Beer 30 Sports O'Clock. Yay! As y'all probably know, there was only one voice on that. It's your boy Ziggy. Cam is out sick. This weather is getting everybody. Got me. I got a sinus infection. Ugh. Cam got the flu. Stay your ass at home. Ha! But tonight we're gonna talk about the NFL. We're gonna talk about a lot of things tonight. Ziggy's gonna give y'all a great show. I'm gonna try my best to give you a great show. But I gotta talk about first and foremost them Cowboys, man. Oh my God. I don't even know what to say. Did they stun the world? Did they make everybody pay attention now? Is it safe to say that now? Me personally, I think no. I mean, if you were paying attention, if you're a real fan, you know they were playing great defense before. Now you got to put some respect on that great. Like, they playing great defense. Now, they did have some help. The refs did help. I ain't gonna hold you. There was a couple plays at the end. I was like, what? How? But there's no excuse for Drew Brees to look like a JV quarterback and Dak to look like he belonged in the MVP race. Like, there was no excuses for that. Y'all got outplayed. Y'all got outcoached. But there's good news, Saints. There's good news on the horizons. You, last time, you lost to the Cowboys in the Dome on a undefeated or long run, you won the Super Bowl. So, for those of you that are upset or those of you that, you know, lost money, I feel bad for you. I tried to tell y'all to bet the spread. Bet for them Cowboys on the spread, but it's neither here nor there. You have the best chance right now to win the Super Bowl. Only thing that it did change is whether or not you have home field advantage all the way throughout the playoffs. But, you know, you beat the Rams once, it's going to be hard to beat them twice anyway. And we all know that's pretty much going to be the NFC Championship. For this reason, The Cowboys beer of choice is Miller Lite. So that's what I'm drinking tonight, Miller Lite. Because congratulations, Cowboys. Because y'all put in work. That dude, Vander Esch, man, he's top five rookie, defensive rookie, hands down. Hands down. And that dude, Jalen Smith, oh my God. If it wasn't for that injury, he would have been a top 10 pick anyway. But now, oh my, the Cowboys got a steal. He is coming to everything they thought he's coming to fruition. They secondary was playing great. It was just unbelievable. They made Kamara look, and he screwed up my fantasy, by the way. Now, on to someone else that looked, my Packers, man. Y'all let Arizona come in the house and beat y'all and beat us by three? I mean, you know, it wasn't like they came in the house and just destroyed us, but we couldn't move the ball. We couldn't stop a nose. Like, I'm just really confused. So, as you all may know by now, Mikey's out of there, baby. Mikey's gone. Do I think it was the right decision to let him go? Yes. Do I think they should have kept him for the season? Why not? But it really was beneficial on both sides. For the Packers, it was beneficial because it was time. Like, Aaron was making comments and the demeanor was all wrong. You could just tell the sideline just wasn't in sync. They weren't playing for him anymore. Will they play for Philbin for the time being? God knows, because that man is about as boring as they come. But hey, maybe he'll come in and impress. He hasn't been a play caller before, but maybe he'll come in and impress. and it'll be a great turnout or a great closeout for the season. I highly doubt it, but whatever. I'm just wishing for high draft picks at this point. But it was also good for Mike because he actually now has an opportunity, because there's going to be some other coaches getting fired this year, as they always do when the season is over or when the season is coming to an end and the year is done. Mike has the opportunity to interview and talk to and figure out exactly who he wants to coach for. And there's no pressure. Like, there's no immediate pressure for him. He's still getting paid throughout the year. You know what I'm saying? He's still, you know, he just can chill, relax, figure out where he wants to go, what's going to be the best fit for him. Now, for the Packers, it's getting a little sticky. For us Packers, it's getting a little sticky because the thing of it is we need an offensive mind coach, but we also need a defensive coordinator that is going to get this defense to respond in a healthy. We haven't had great draft picks. I mean, it's just been kind of crazy to me. Like, I thought HaHa was going to be better. I mean, he was our best safety, our best DB, however you want to call him. But he, you know, they traded him away for a fourth round pick, which I thought was stupid. But, you know, he did underperform for what it cost to get him. Now, we did come up with, you know, Jair and Josh, and both of them have come out to be really, really good. They've been playing good. We've got some other young cats coming up. So, I'm just hoping that we get a defensive coordinator at least, along with an offensive head coach to right the ship. Because right now, this shit is horrendous. And it's just going to get worse. So we're about to be in. Unfortunately, I don't think it's crazy because Aaron Rodgers is going to have a say-so in this. But should he? And that's, I don't know. I think that he should, because at the end of the day, you did pay him. He is the highest paid quarterback in the league. He is probably one of the greatest quarterbacks besides the one over in the AFC East in the league. And he's only had one Super Bowl appearance. One Super Bowl appearance since he's been starting. And he won the one, but still, only one. So my thing is like, you know, it's time for him to start winning again. It's time for us to get back in the Super Bowl. He cannot go out like Favre. He cannot go out like Favre. He needs to get more than one, and that way he can continue to show why he's the greatest, you know, Packer quarterback, maybe quarterback of all time, period. Because the Super Bowl is going to hurt him. Not having him is going to hurt him a lot. But, you know, as far as when it comes to Hall of Fame, GOAT, whatever. I mean, not Hall of Fame. He's going to be first ballot. But considered the GOAT, he's going to have a problem with that. Do I think that Philbin's the answer? Nah. I think Philbin's time is basically, his days are numbered. His time is coming to an end. And he was on his way out the door as well. He wasn't even calling the plays. So it's just crazy. So the Saints look crazy. The Packers are looking crazy and continue to look crazy. And it's time to revamp and get rid of this, because enough is enough. Us cheeseheads are ready to win, and we're ready to win big. You know what I'm saying? Now, I will say who's winning big quarterback-wise this week, or the last few weeks. Mr. Lamar, man, this dude is undefeated so far. Is he the real deal? I think so, as long as they can get his decision-making a little bit better. I mean, he threw a couple picks this last game, but he's running the ball less. He's doing more. You know, they're winning games with him. Everybody's rejuvenated when he's on the field. Flacco, it's time to start calling the movers, baby. It's time to start looking around where you're going to end up. Because it's a wrap after this season, dog. Because they got their future, and they know how to play. They know how to adapt to keep him, you know, winning. I mean, it's a wrap. You know, a lot like Favre, and a lot like Rodgers. You've only had one Super Bowl and ain't been back since, and it's been turmoil since. So, well, not like Rodgers and him at least go to playoffs and NFC championships. You, my friend, I don't know what the fuck you be doing. But it's gone. Flacco's probably healthy, and they're still not going to start him this week. They've already made the announcement. He is going to be on the bench if he's quote-unquote healthy to come out and be on the bench. But they already pretty much announced it that he's the starter, that Jackson is this Lamar's team now. So I don't see him playing anymore, especially with the AFC North being as open as it is to them. I mean, the Bengals started out really hot, and I don't know what the fuck they're doing. The Steelers, I mean, The Steelers, they're in disarray right now. Like, it's crazy. You let the Chargers come into your house and win and take the game from you. At one point, you were leading by 20 points. Like, huh? So either this is the announcement for the Chargers, or this is the Steelers being asleep at the wheel. Like, what the fuck is going on in Pittsburgh? And this has been a while coming. Like, they've been kind of just going through the motions and whoa, bruh. Steelers, y'all in trouble, man. Y'all better get it together quick, because them Ravens is coming. Them Lamar Ravens is coming. So just be prepared to see them. They may take the North. I don't know. It's a possibility that they may take the North. But, I mean, let's not act like the Chargers, though, didn't come back and dominate. They were running the ball all over them in the second half. And I was like, it seemed like the Steelers and the Chargers switched jerseys for a second. Like, because in the first half, they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass. They couldn't get anything going. All of a sudden, halftime come back, and these motherfuckers are superheroes with the Chargers jerseys on. Like, I ain't never seen no shit like that in my life. Well, I mean, we have, but it's like, what the hell? So it's just crazy to me. It's just crazy to me that, like, the Chargers are good. We all know that they're good. They may mess around if the Chiefs keep fucking up. They may mess around and let the Chargers sneak up and take the West. Now, do I think it'll happen? It's a very slim chance. But, man, them Chargers are the real deal, bruh. They the real deal. And they never give up. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. So I think it's going to be a tight race, man. It's going to be a tight race. And I believe now. I believed in the Chargers before. It's their year. I think it's their year to take it. So I'm just hoping. I'm betting on them. All right? I'm all in. Especially after them taking over that game with the Steelers, after they came out dead. They came out dead and came back and won that game. So who also came out dead, the Bears. Oh, my God, can the Bears get, like, they're a young team, Ziggy. Chill, they're a young team, Ziggy. They're a young team. I don't care, bro. Trubisky's out. I get it. Chase Daniels is your fucking quarterback. He ain't really that great. But you come back from that deficit and you get to OT. You got all the momentum on your side and you blow it. I mean, like, completely blow it. I don't know what? So, I don't know. My thing is, I think that they're gonna get it together eventually. They will win the North. That's just what it is. They're going to win the North. The Vikings have been exposed. The Packers are in disarray. The Lions are rebuilding. So they're going to get it. They're going to win the North. I mean, they're going to win the North. But to make a real playoff run, I don't foresee that yet. I just don't. I don't see it yet. And, God forbid, God forbid if Trubisky don't come back this week, it's gonna be trouble. So, Chargers are for real. Steelers asleep. Bears blow it, and then the Colts get skunked by the Jags. And it wasn't like a skunk of all skunks. It was like the dumbest skunk I've ever seen in my life. It was 6-0. Let me repeat that for y'all that didn't hear that in the back. It was 6-0. So the Jags stopped the Colts from scoring, but they couldn't actually get touchdowns either. So what the fuck were you not running the ball for? Colts. I know Andrew Luck is back. I know Andrew Luck looked great. 50-something times he threw the ball. Come on. What, are you trying to get him back into shoulder surgery? Are you trying to get him back injured? Like, what the fuck are you doing? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. You run the ball maybe 10, 15 times. You're not down by 3 touchdowns. If you were down by 3 touchdowns, it would make sense. I'd be like, oh, you know, this is what they do. This is how you come back, you know, blah, 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 blah. You were down by less than a touchdown in a – what? And you threw the ball 50 times. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't get it at all. Run the fucking ball. It's not hard. It's not fucking rocket science. Run the ball like 52, 53 times when you're down 6-0 is too many times to throw the ball. You did not score. You threw the ball 50 times and did not score. So what does that tell you? They had no fear of your run game. They knew you weren't going to come out and run the ball. So run it. Run it down their fucking throat. You got some of the best offensive linemen in the league right now. The young boy. Come on, man. What are y'all doing? I don't know, bro. It's baffling to me what the fuck the Colts were doing. Lord knows. I don't know. I don't know. I'm still scratching my head at this shit. Like, what? 50 times? 52, 53 times? For what? Like, he just got back off injury. We dropping back that many times? And it wasn't like he was just on fire. I mean, he was 40% completion rate. So, 40, 50%. Like, if that. So, what the fuck? I'm moving on. It just doesn't make any sense to me why you would, you know what I'm saying, continue to press that, but that would do those plays. Like, the Colts head coach must not really give a fuck. He's just like, fuck it, I believe in Luck. We're going to ride with Luck. Just some shit that baffles me. Another thing that baffled me, man, like, Benjamin gets cut by the Bills, right? And then he gets picked up and signed by the Chiefs. How does this motherfucker keep getting a job? How? This motherfucker, he got cut like Tuesday and got picked up today and on a 1-year deal with the Chiefs. And I'm like, dog, what? This boy, he got, his finesse game is real. Finesse game is absolutely real. I never in my life seen no shit like that in my life. This dude gets cut and signed within 48 hours and to a good team. Like, he ain't got to do shit but sit on the bench and he in the playoffs. The fuck? I'm trying to figure out where you pull that off at. Like, dog, that dude, right? Man, I need his agent. Somebody call his agent, because God, man, that man is, he working hard. Who was also baffling to me. It's just been a lot of crazy shit. Now, we all talked about this last episode, last week. The Redskins picked up Reuben Foster. We thought it was kind of stupid in the first place, but now it comes out. The ex-girlfriend comes on ABC and just tells all, right? Which as she should. I don't know about going telling all in the public, whatever. Which she should, you know, from what the story, from what she says, the pictures, the videos, the everything that's going on, she should have came out a long time ago. And she was, you know, at first recanted her story because she loved him, thought she, you know, all that good stuff, right? So it's kind of like, man, how do you believe her? But if she has the evidence that she says she has, like the pictures and the pictures and the video and, you know, messages and, bruh, that, like, it ain't looking good. It ain't looking good for the Niners, the Rams, the Redskins, excuse me, not the Rams, the Niners, the Redskins. It just, him, it ain't just, it's just not, like, bro, what the fuck, bro? We don't condone hitting women on this show at all. And I don't, like, when we, you know, heard the story came out, we were kind of like, eh, you know, we weren't sure because she backed out of her story before. So it's kind of like, you know, we don't condone none of that shit. Like I said about with old boy Kareem Hunt, we don't condone that shit, bro. Like, that shit was, you know what I'm saying? That shit was beyond stupid. Like, I mean, I don't even really want to talk about it because we obviously know Kareem Hunt, you know, that was stupid. And there's been more than one incident, apparently, with him. And that's why the Chiefs cut him. He lied. That's why Tyreek Hill is still on the team. Because let's not forget, Tyreek Hill hit his girl in the mouth or whatever the case may be, pled guilty and did his time and, you know, second chance, blah, blah, blah. But still, fam, like, you just, I don't know. So Ruben Foster's ex comes out and says she's completely, you know, hurt and confused on why the Redskins would even pick him up, right? Which we all thought the same thing. Like, he can't even play for you this year. Like, why would you pick him up? We don't understand it. Then, come to find out, the 49ers, like, questioned her and, like bombarded her and almost made her feel like she had to give the story, like, to recant her story because she said, like, they were coming at her like she was lying and, you know, this, that. It's like, wow. Like, it just, everybody in this story looks fucking bad. Between the girl, between the Niners, Foster, the Redskins. I mean, I just don't understand it. Now, the girl only looks questionable in my mind because of the simple fact that she, you know, again, she recanted the statement or the charges or dropped the charge, whatever you want to call it. You know, I guess because she loved him, she thought he would change and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, you don't know who to believe until the evidence is out and everything like that. Like, she, I don't know. They didn't show the pictures or anything like that. So, you know, you can't, you know, who knows who's telling the truth. But right now, the 49ers and the Redskins, you look almost as bad as Mr. Foster on this deal. Now, Kareem Hunt situation. We all know what happened. We all saw the video. How the fuck did the NFL not get the video? Like, I'm still confused on that part. But whatever. TMZ apparently has better investigators and reporters than the NFL. And ta-da, that's how it happened. So, moving on from bad stories and crazy nonsense and baffling things, I'm amazed right now about something I saw today. This dude, Shazier, Steelers, is already deadlifting after his spine injury. Already deadlifting. And if you haven't seen the video, I recommend you go watch this video. He is deadlifting already. Like, it's like 200 pounds or something. Like, this motherfucker is for real. And it's crazy to me. Because, like, you would think, you know, after that spinal injury, for him to even walk was just, a big time, like, a miracle and things of that nature. But for him to be deadlifting already, insane. Insane. Craziest but best shit I've seen ever. Like, best shit I've ever seen. Like, that was, I was like, that's what's up, man. Uplifting, good stuff for Thursday. So since Cam is not here, and obviously Cam, we've been talking, obviously, but Cam went 3-0 last week. Can't say that I'm happy about that. I went 2-1. Thank you, Colts. Fucking bozos. So we are now both tied. 22-14. Cam, I don't know how he did it. This motherfucker picked the fucking 3-0. Anyway, so this week Cam has the winners for him is going to be the Chiefs, Broncos, and Cowboys. Let me say that again. It's going to be the Chiefs, Broncos, and Cowboys. I'm hoping he's wrong on like two of those. But hey, you know, wishful thinking. He's been on fire lately, so I got to give him credit. It's going to be ugly if I lose this. I just want the people to know if I lose this, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get as ugly as that OU Texas win. Ha ha! Boomer! Now, I went, since I'm also tied with him, I went last because my picks are last because he went 3-0, obviously, and I went 2-1. So, my picks are Saints, Steelers, and Chargers. Now, Steelers, I think, are going to bounce back after a bad loss to the Chargers at home. I think the Chargers are going to continue to run through, and I think that they are trying to win the AFC West, and they are coming to stake their claim. I think the Saints will also bounce back. I think that they got punched in the mouth, and they want that home field advantage, and they are going to continue to play until they get it. So I'm going with the Saints, the Steelers, and the Chargers. Cam is going with the Chiefs, the Broncos, and Cowboys. So you heard it here. Cowboys, don't disappoint Cam. Cam will cry. Now on to the NBA. Man, it's been a quiet, week for them. I mean, it hasn't been really quiet, but it's been kind of a low-key season. Some crazy stuff going on as far as the who's winning the top in the divisions or the conferences and stuff like that. It's been crazy. One of the top teams in the East, the Toronto Raptors. Lowry's been playing out of his motherfucking mind. Leonard's been playing like an MVP candidate. It's just been great. Boston's been playing mediocre at best. Philly been playing great. It's just crazy. Everything is going on, right? And Lowry just had an interview with ESPN, and they had like a Raptors day, and the Raptors, it was all behind the scenes and all this stuff. And it was great. It was good footage. It was great. If you didn't watch it, you should go watch some of it, if you can on YouTube or ESPN, whatever the case may be. And Lowry got asked a question. Kyle Lowry. He got asked a question about his president and what he thought of his president. He didn't really give the best. I mean, he gave a straight up answer. He gave a good answer. It's just he ain't got no love for him. He was like, he here to do a job. I'm here to do a job, and that's what we're gonna do. And that was it. And like, ooh, the interview. Well, what? Nah, that's it. That's the bottom line. I got a job. I'm gonna do my job. He do his job, and that's it. So, Lowry let it know he ain't got no love for my man for the trade, even though they're the best team in the East right now because of the trade. He been playing great. It ain't like he just ain't been playing. It ain't like he been playing depressed. He been playing great. So, it's crazy to me, but I don't blame him. But the reaction that the president got during an interview or media day, basically, the president laughed at it. Like, I mean, it is what it is. He don't have to like me, but he better respect me. I cut the check. I mean, at least that's what it, what it sounded like, to me. He said all the right stuff. They kind of laughed it off, like, Lowry's mad at me, whatever. I mean, but it's tough. It's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it. he answered it the right way. And I feel as if Lowry answered it the right way, too, because, you know, he did have a relationship with DeRozan. And he did have, you know what I'm saying, belief that DeRozan was going to be there for Lawrence. If anything, we thought Lowry was going to be the one traded, not DeRozan. We didn't think DeRozan would be gone. So it's crazy to me because of that aspect of it, but it's also kind of like, you know, Lowry was, I feel like Lowry did the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Lowry didn't kind of dodge the question. He didn't say no fake ass answer. He answered the real question and he real for that. And like, DeRozan got to feel him. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, it is what it is. So, me personally, I like how both of them answered it because I thought it was funny as hell that he laughed at it. He was like, huh, Lowry's mad at me. All right. You know, you got to get over these things. It's crazy. Another thing that's crazy is that boy Russ. Oh, my God, that boy Russ has been on fire. And OKC has been on fire. And they're just playing with a hunger. They see Golden State ending. And they are playing like it. And Russ passes Kidd on a triple-double. He gets his 108th triple-double and passes Kidd on the list. And not only does he pass Kidd, he wins the game versus the Nets, but he didn't hit the game winner. That motherfucker PG hit the game winner, and PG dropped 47 that night, 25 in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just crazy how those two are now that PG has signed and stayed, and they got rid of Melo. Not to say Melo was the problem, but they just made it. They've made it so, you know what I'm saying? They've just gelled so well together. Like the bond is there. Like, it's officially there. And they see the writing on the wall. I don't know what has awoken out of both of them. But here at Beer 30 Sports O'Clock, we're here for it all. Like, we are here. I hope they give everybody in the West a run for their fucking money, because I'm a Westbrook fan. I'm a PG fan. I was a little, you know what I'm saying, concerned about him staying in there. We all thought he was going back to L.A., but, you know, whatever. I'm glad he stayed. It's been better basketball since he stayed, and it's crazy. Russ is going to be up there as the Hall of Fame first ballot, so y'all be prepared. All of y'all that hate Russ, think he's an arrogant prick and all that other nonsense, be prepared to eat some crow, because that man going to Hall of Fame first ballot, bro. Best believe that. Now, for those hecklers and those crowds out there that have been causing a ruckus, NBA players ain't here for the bullshit, okay? They are too close for comfort, and they will tell you how they feel. And it's been getting a couple of them in trouble. You know, everybody got a camera phone. Everybody can see everything. You know, KD be telling people to shut the fuck up and watch the game. $25,000 fine, like, fuck it, it's nothing. Then Tristan Thompson, he wanted to get in on it, you know, and it seems like it's always in Brooklyn or Dallas. Like, I just, you know, New York and Texas, they breed some hard fans. So, I mean, you gotta be prepared for that as an NBA player, but whatever. Are the fans a little too close to the NBA players? Are the fans getting on the NBA players' nerves? Should there be a barrier like there is with the NFL, or a distance from the benches and things of that nature? I don't think so. I think most fans are dope. You know what I'm saying? They just come to watch greatness, and they get shoes for the kids or jersey signed for the kids and shit like that. You know, that's dope. But it is getting to be, like, you starting to see it more often that the fans are getting checked. And it's crazy because you would think that the NBA would figure out a way to stop that from happening, but they have not. And I don't think they really will yet, unless something, you know, of the Detroit Pistons and Ron Artest and Indiana type shit happens. But I highly doubt that'll happen. I think most of the NBA players know that it's not worth it. And I think that the fans know it's not worth it. They just want to get on somebody's damn nerves. And it's been working. Like, to get Tristan Thompson to flick you off and to get KD to tell you to shut the fuck up and watch the game, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's good. Like, that. I mean, that's not good, but that's you doing your job as a heckler. Like, you doing your fan job as a heckler. So, it's funny to me. It's entertainment to me. So, keep it up. You know what I'm saying? But, I don't know. We'll see what happens with the NBA on that. So, speaking of something wrong, is something really wrong with Fultz? Well, I remember we asked that question last week, and we kind of, is it mental, and he need to get his shit together with the pump fake and all that good shit. Well, turns out we all might need to owe Mr. Fultz an apology. He really do got something going on with his shoulder, with the neurothoracic something. I don't even know how to pronounce this shit, but basically, the man's shoulder is not 100% yet, and he's going to have to take 3 to 6 weeks off. Now, do we owe him an apology in the world of the NBA? Does the media, do the fans, do we here at Beer 30 owe him an apology? I don't think so, but at the same time, it's crazy to me that, there was actually something wrong. You know what I'm saying? There was something wrong with him, and it wasn't just a mental thing. And it's good that it wasn't a mental thing and it was actually something really wrong, because if it was something not really wrong, it was all in the head, I think he'd be out of there quick. And I think they would trade him off, and so it's just, I think he'll be okay. Neurotic, whatever the hell it is something real. They showed the diagnostics, and you can look it up. The veins and the arteries aren't fully, healed. They're deformed or dysfunctioning or something like that. So it's just good to know that it's not in his head and it's actual pain that he's trying to play through, which, is good. It shows that he actually was trying to be tough for the team and actually play. Now on to college. Yeah, Boomer! It felt so good to watch the Texans get beat. The Texas Longhorns get beat by my Boomer Sooners, man. Oh, my God. And that might have just sealed the deal for my man Kyler Murray to win the Heisman, because Tua didn't finish his game, and Tua didn't look that great against Georgia, and all of that. And now the committees and all the media, everybody that has to vote on this, has Kyler Murray up at the top. And they have, Tua deserves to be in the conversation, absolutely. But Murray has been consistent. Murray, except for the Texas game, where he made it up the next Texas game. Sweet vengeance? I think so. I think the committee got it right. I think that unfortunately, even though Georgia is probably a top four team, which they shouldn't be in the playoffs because of the amount of losses. They shouldn't be in the playoffs because they're not an SEC champion. They shouldn't be in the playoffs because they had a misstep as well with LSU. Listen, SEC, Big 12, Big 10, ACC, they beat up on each other all the time, and that's why it's tough. Clemson, I think, had the easiest way in. It is what it is. But they did what they were supposed to do. They handled business. They win the ACC championship. They handled their business. Notre Dame doesn't have a fucking conference, so Notre Dame's not a fucking conference champion. They are the conference champion, so whatever. They were undefeated. Didn't have to play nobody. Fucking bullshit, but, it is what it is. Let them breathe. They get what we'll see them get exposed in this playoff. I think that it's going to be a closer game than everybody thinks. I think the Sooners are going to put up a big, big fight. I think that the Clemson is going to drag Notre Dame. I think Clemson is going to kill Notre Dame. It's not even going to be close. Notre Dame ain't played no body of any type of, Nobody. They haven't played anybody. So I think that Notre Dame is going to get drugged. I hope it's a better game than I'm thinking, but they're going to get ran through. So just be prepared for that if it happens. I think Oklahoma is going to give Alabama a better game than anybody's giving them. I think Alabama, it's going to be like Georgia and Alabama, but it's going to be more of a high-scoring game instead of a defensive game, you know, than it like it was with Georgia and Alabama. At least that's my opinion. Now, will Murray win the Heisman? I don't know, but it's a good sign that he's already won the O'Brien Award, which is the best QB award, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's a very tall tale sign that he's most likely going to win the Heisman. Now, on to the debacle of Big Ten football. Not only did Ohio State not get in the playoffs, Urban Meyer's retiring after the Rose Bowl? Come on, man. You sore losing mother. Oh, man. Do I think he's really going to retire and stay retired this time? No. No, not at all. Do I think that this was a fucking easy out because of all the stuff that went on with the domestic violence, trying to save his buddy or his mentor's nephew, son, whatever the fuck, grandson, whatever. Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with that. I think that it was all basically that. Now, do I think that it's a good move for Ohio State? Yes, because I think Day is going to be perfectly fine. He did great while he was out. He'll continue to do great. I think that they'll be great. But the problem lies for Michigan and Michigan State now. To me, Harbaugh's on notice, bro. You have not beat Ohio State at all. And if you lose, because everybody was talking about, oh, you know, Harbaugh's got to be doing a chicken dance. Harbaugh's got to be doing victory laps and dancing at home and blah, 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 that he's retiring. No, Harbaugh wanted to beat Meyer because Urban Meyer has beat the shit out of everybody he's seen, except for one or two slip-ups. But he pretty much dominates every conference he goes to. So how is it? If I was Harbaugh, I'd be sick to my stomach right now. Like, son of a bitch, you beat me, and then you bow out? You just say, you know what? Nobody could beat me. Nobody could beat me. I beat myself. You son of a bitch. I would be so pissed off if I was him. If I was him, that was me. I don't know. I just think that, you know, there's no win-win for him on this. I think if he doesn't win the Michigan versus Ohio State game this year, bye-bye, Miss Harbaugh's pie. He gone. He out of there. No holds barred. He might be out of here this year before the end of the year. He might be gone, you know what I'm saying, because the Michigan was defense. We've had a quarterback finally. You know, it was everything was great and got embarrassed. And now you're not in the playoffs. Now you playing in a bowl game that, you know, ain't got nothing on the playoff. It's just, it sucks. I think Ohio State actually will end up better off with Day. I think, not better off, but I think that they'll do just fine with Day. I think that Harbaugh is on notice. Harbaugh better get it. He better get some answers quick. I think Lincoln's going to stay. I think a lot of people think that he's coming to the NFL. The NFL wants him, but he's like Jesus' second coming after Stoops in Oklahoma. I don't think he's going to leave that for a question mark job in Cleveland or Green Bay or Tampa Bay or anything else like that. That doesn't make any sense to me, but I've been wrong before. I could be wrong now, but I highly doubt it. Again, I think he's going to stay where he's at, especially if they put up a good fight with Alabama, which they will. They have an opportunity to beat them. Don't sleep. Like, the defense is real suspect. We get it. But if they get the ball, if OU gets the ball first, you got to keep up. And Alabama's defense is good. But they've always had trouble with athletic quarterbacks. We know that Saban has historically had trouble with athletic quarterbacks. So, and they don't play us that very often. So wishful thinking, OU wins by 3. But reality speaking, OU loses by 2 or 3. So, I appreciate y'all rocking with me tonight, man. It's kind of lonely in here, you know? But this is Beer 30 Sports O'Clock Boomer!